I'll tell you what, if that doesn't get you excited, your wood's wet. Hey, hey, if that doesn't get you excited, man, I'll tell you. And I want to honor you too, Pastor Kitapia and Pastor Liz. I want to honor you for your obedience. Hey, for your obedience and your kingdom thinking. You know, because I tell you something, this is doing something for the kingdom. This is doing something for the community. This is bringing us all together, uniting us. And I like what you said, brother, that we're stronger together. We're stronger together, right? You know, because you know, sometimes we can sit in our own little church and we can be worshiping, and then we forget that all throughout New Zealand, we're worshiping with thousands of other people. Might be in different congregations, might be in different walls, but the kingdom. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, I thank you, Father God, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for the kingdom, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, Lord, for every house that sits this morning and worships you and honors you and glorifies you and magnifies you. And we will lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And no man will take that away, Lord God. Lord, that you sit over this region, over this country, Lord God, over this nation. And we give you honor for it, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord God, that you fill this room with the presence of your Spirit. You fill my words with your anointing, Lord God, to be received in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen, amen. Awesome, what a cool morning. Matt put me down for that breakfast, table for two, food for four, and I'm in, okay? I want to start off with a proverb, 27:17, okay? It's not, actually, I haven't got all the scriptures I'm going to use, so I'll be testing you today, okay? So, but Proverbs 27:17, most of us will be familiar with it. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron, and then it says, so a man sharpens another man's countenance. Countenance is like your expression, you know? Hey, and your countenance can say a lot. Hey, it's sort of like your resting face, you know? Whatever that might be or look like. Hey, yeah, I'm not going there, but I'm just saying, you know? So we can have an influence on other people. We sharpen other people. You know, when we rub in together, you know, and we all need to be encouraged at some stage. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because I believe that God wants to encourage us. Not just this morning, I believe he wants to encourage his people in general. He wants to encourage us because he knows that we need to combat the world, hey, everything that it throws at us. And it's easy to encourage. You just got to say something nice. Hey, just say something nice. Something like, oh, actually, it's harder than I thought. Nah. You just need to say something nice, hey. You need to say, you know, like, hey, Darcy, bro, that was mean this morning. Bro, you know, your voice, it's not just about your voice, though, bro, when you sing, it's your heart. It's your heart, hey. It's your heart, you know. It's easy to encourage people. You know, we could do it all day, every day, you know. We could do it all day, every day. Gordy, you are like an oak tree, man. You're solid, hey. You're planted, you're reliable, you're dependable, but there's far more to you than that, eh? You listen to that man. You listen to him when he prays for you. You listen to his heart, eh? This is his heart, eh? You know? Rod. Oh, I'll come back to you. No, brother. Lovely shoes. Bro, no, you're an encourager. You're an encourager, right? Hey, you only have to be around Rod for 10 seconds and you can feel his enthusiasm, mate. And you can hear it. Hey. You can hear it. You can hear it even longer and louder than me. So that's saying something. But it is. It's easy to encourage, you know, but that's what we should be doing. That's our role. Encouragers, hey. Encouragers. You know, and our words have an effect. You know, our words have an absolute effect. Proverbs 18:21, it says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and you'll eat the fruit of it. You'll eat the outcome, the result. There's a result to our words. You know, when we speak, we're actually shaping things, but we have an influence on what we speak over and what we say, you know? We have an influence over the outcome and the result of what we're speaking over. Amen? So, you know, it's important to encourage. But the thing about it is that encouragement actually is for the giver as well. I don't know about you. You know, it says in the Bible, better to give than to receive. I don't know about you. I feel good when someone says something nice about me. But I feel good when I say something nice about someone else. It encourages me too. You know, there's a saying, and it says, you know, we cannot hold a torch to light another's path without brightening our own. Right? So at the end of the day, when we're giving out encouragement and we're speaking life and we're speaking light, then we're speaking it over them, but we're speaking it for ourselves as well. And we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged. I look at Proverbs 12, 25. I actually really like this version of the scripture. Have we got that one? Yeah, so look, anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Lovers of God give good advice to their friends, but the counsel of the wicked will lead them astray. And there's plenty of people out there that'll be ready to talk bad. Plenty of people out there that'll have an opinion and be negative. You know, there's plenty of them around there. But I look at that bit there, you know, the anxiousness. That anxiousness, that worry, you know, that then creates fear, you know, and then can create depression and, you know, suicide. You know, like this region here, I don't know if you know, this region here has got a really high suicide rate. You know, it's got a really high suicide rate. And you know, it shows me that, you know, we need to be encouraging people. You know, you never know what someone's going through, you know. And I read this the other day, I thought this was cool. It says, worry doesn't take away tomorrow's problem, it takes away today's peace. Hey, takes away today's peace because we're worrying about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. You know, God will take care of tomorrow, and He just wants to encourage us. Hey, He just wants to encourage us. But you know, when I look at that anxious and depression, you know, when you think about the Bible written so long ago, but still applicable to this very day and our lives, you know, and I see this anxiousness and I see that it's rising. You know, I see that people are struggling more, you know, in their minds with depression, and we know that God is the answer. You know, the Bible actually warns of it. In Luke 21, 26, it talks about, you know, the hearts of men failing them. Hey, it says, the hearts of men will fail them in the day of the coming because of the fear of expectation of what's to come. Now, I look at that and I think to myself, why is it, why are men's hearts failing them? Why men's hearts failing them? And I look at that, and it's because, for me, it's like, because man puts trust in his intellect, in his finances, in his ability. But what happens when something comes along that it doesn't matter how able you are, how much finances you've got, how clever you are, it's not enough. And you put your trust in something that's not going to get you through, your heart's going to fail you. In Job 8:14, it says that men put their trust in fragile things, like a spider web. You know, spider web, eh? You know, easy, eh? Just to wipe away. Easy just to pull down, you know. And that's the thing. And if you put your trust in anything other than God, it's going to fall short. There's going to come a time, there's going to come a situation, there's going to come something where you need God. You know, more than your intellect, more than your money, you know, more than anything else, we're going to need God. See, the enemy always opposes, eh? So when God's trying to encourage, then the enemy's going to try and I tell you, it was touch and go for a minute. Hey, touch and go for a minute, but you got us there. He will try and discourage. And you know why? Because God creates, but the devil, he's counterfeit. He can't create. So he tries to counterfeit things. He does. He tries to counterfeit things. So God will encourage, the enemy will discourage. He will diss your courage. Hey. That's what he will do. He will diss your courage. Hey. And it's harder to encourage if you're discouraged. Hey. It is harder. You know, God still works. God still works when we're discouraged. You know, I learned that a couple of years ago. I was going through a really hard time. I was going through a really hard time. And, you know, I was going through a really hard time. And I was struggling. And I don't know why, but I was just really down. And I felt myself just getting dragged into it, and I felt myself, it was almost like I could feel myself spiraling down, and my mind was getting heavy, and it was getting hard, and I was sitting around home feeling really sorry for myself, and I'm sitting there, and next minute there's a knock at the door. Oh, who's that? Hey, you know what I mean? Hey, when you're like that, it's like, oh, who's that? And I get to the door, and it's this young fella that I've known for a long, long time, and he comes in. I was like, hey, man, how's it going? He's going, good, good. So we start having a chat. And anyway, he goes to me, we're talking for about 10 minutes, and he goes to me, can I have a word with you? And I was like, oh, we were having words, you know? And then I realized, oh, I see what he means. And so he wanted to go somewhere private because we're just in the house and, you know, people walking through. Anyway, I get through to the other room, and he starts talking to me, and his eyes just start filling with tears, you know? Start filling, and I was like, oh, bro, are you all right, you know? And he just goes to me, no. Hey, which is good. So often, hey, your world's falling apart, and someone goes, how are you? Oh, good. I'm great, you know? And hey, I get it. We can speak in faith with that, but sometimes, too, we need to let the wall down and go, well, actually. And so anyway, this young fellow goes to me, well, actually, bro, I'm just struggling at the moment, you know? And I went, oh, what with it? He goes, I'm just really, really down at the moment, you know? Like, I just feel really depressed. And I just sit there going, really, Lord? Really? Like, seriously. I'm sitting there going, really, Lord, what? You know? And so anyway, he starts talking and talking and talking. But you know what? This is what I've always known this, but this was a really good example of it. It wasn't about me or how I felt. It wasn't about my ability. It wasn't about whether I was available. It wasn't about whether I was able or whether I was available. So I'm sitting there in that, but I'm finding it quite ironic. And I'm sitting there in that, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, what do I pray for him? You know? And then God dropped into my spirit, what would you pray for you? You know, what would you pray for you? And I just shared with this guy, and I prayed with him, and then I led him to the Lord. I said to him, you know, bro, you need some peace. You need God's peace. So I led him to the Lord, and man, he just like tears, eh? You know what it's like, hey, when you just get overwhelmed by the presence of God, and I'm sitting there, man, and I'm getting the shivers, you know, I'm getting the feeling that, and I'm like, oh, Lord, ooh, what's going on here, you know, like, man, something's happening here. And then next minute, like, he goes anyway. 2 days later, he comes back, and he comes in, he goes, oh, my gosh, oh, man, I'm feeling so awesome, I'm feeling, you know, and he was like, God had changed him like that, and I'll be honest with you, a part of me went, oh, really, Lord, really? No, I was happy for him, hey, I was happy for him, but part of me did sort of go, really, Lord, you know, but God showed me in that moment, he showed me that, A, he'd already begun my path, he'd already begun working in me, you know, to sort me out, but it also showed me that it's not about me. It's not about me. You know what I mean? Sometimes God, I feel God works in spite of me. You know what I mean? You can get in the way of God sometimes. So sometimes you just got to move aside and do what God wants you to do and let it happen. You know? But it was a really good example to me that even in our down times, in our worst, we can have a word of encouragement. You know, and as we encourage others, we encourage the giver gets encouraged as well. Hey. Yeah, cool. So, yeah, because you know what? The world is trying to drain our courage, right? It's trying to silence us. You know, it's trying to make us shrink back, right? And withdraw. But no way. We've got a voice, right? You know, New Zealand for Jesus, March for Parliament, we've got a voice. You know, we've got a voice. World needs to hear what we've got to say, because what we've got to say is what God's telling us. So they need to hear that. But it's trying to drain our courage. And that's why, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hey, you walk by faith. Do you know that faith is the strongest response that you can have to any situation? Faith is the staunchest stance that you can make to any situation. Faith. Man, that's the staunchest thing you can do. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, there's a scripture about encouragement. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. See, God never wastes words. God always puts words in there for a reason, you know. And he knows. He knew. He put this word in here when the Bible was very first downloaded to men from the Spirit of God. God knew that we would need the scripture. God knew that we would come against discouragement, and he wanted to encourage us. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. See, through discouragement, the enemy can sow disbelief. Hey, that's really what he's trying for. He's trying for disbelief, you know. Because here's something, and I want you to hear what I'm saying here. Because we can get to a stage where we can believe in God, but we stop believing God. There's a difference. There's a big difference. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. You know, Abraham, it says in the Bible, Abraham believed God. Didn't say he believed in him, he believed God. He believed him. Because here's the thing, if we get discouraged, you can get to a stage where you're like, you're believing God is going to work for others, but not you. That's a lie, absolute outright lie. But it's something that believers can get. get discouraged by. You know, you pray for something, it might not work out how you want it to. You get discouraged. You know, all of a sudden you start worrying and you start stopping believing God for you. I want to encourage you. God's still working. Hey, God's still on your side. God's still got your back. You know, it's interesting. The discouragement's one of the biggest reasons for people leaving church. Pastor Robin thought it was me, but but it's not. I'm second. Nah, but it is. Discouragement's a massive reason why people leave church. They get discouraged. They don't feel connected. You know, they feel disconnected. Then they don't function. And when you're not functioning, then you just sort of get stagnant. You know, you stagnate. And then it becomes, you know, a little bit like, oh, what am I doing? You know, and then, you know, you're on the third row, the fifth row, the seventh row. And you're out the calf, and you know, and you're out the door. So we've got to stay connected. We've got to stay connected. That's what I love about what Pastor Kirippi was saying, you know, because it's that kingdom, eh? It's that kingdom connection. So, yeah, you know, the thing about it too is that a discouragement can steal your destiny. It can rob you of your destiny. But not only our destiny, but others as well. Because you know what? We influence people. But the thing about it is if that we withdraw from God and our influence for God becomes less, then there's other people that are missing out as well. Other people need to hear what we've got to say, you know. And sometimes we just got to encourage ourselves. You know, we've got to encourage ourselves sometimes. You know, Samuel 36, it says that King David, it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I reckon that's awesome. I think that's awesome. You encourage yourself in the Lord, you know. I mean, like, whenever I'm at home and I put on worship, man, it encourages me, eh? You know? It lifts me and then I feel it. I get my worship dance on and, you know, and I'm having fun and it's nice. But we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I want to use a scripture here, Matt 9, like we're close. Oh, we're tight, man. Matt and me. Hey, Matt 9. Sorry, Matthew. In Matthew 9, it says it talks about Jesus, and he heals a man who was paralyzed. Hey, heals a man that was paralyzed. Wow, you know. But here's the thing. The first thing that he said to the man before he prayed, before he said anything, the first thing he said is, "Be of good courage, be of good cheer, be encouraged." Then he healed him. Then he prayed for him. You know, so sometimes we just need to encourage ourselves. We need to get ourselves in that right place for God to move in the way that he wants to. Amen? I find that really interesting. He didn't tell him anything. Saying the first thing he said was, "Be of God." The man's paralyzed. The man's paralyzed. He's struggling, you know. He's probably heard of Jesus, and he thinks, well, this is the man. And then he just says, "Be of good courage." Hey. A lot of faith to go, okay, then. Yep, I'll be encouraged. Even though I'm not walking yet, I'll be encouraged. Why? Because I believe that I will walk. You know, when we talk about encouragement, there's someone in the Bible that comes that I find really interesting, and is a man named Barnabas. I know him as Barney, but his name Barnabas, and his birth name was Joseph. His birth name was Joseph. But he was such an encourager that the people started calling him Barnabas, because Barnabas, the translation for Barnabas, is son of encouragement. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? That people just start calling you the son of encouragement. Hey. And see, have you noticed that the Bible changes names a lot? Hey. Like, you know, he was Barnabas, but now he's Joseph, you know? Saul, Paul. You know, and the thing about it is, what I love about Barnabas here is that his name's been changed based on his characteristics, on his character. Here comes the son of encouragement. Hey, what would people say about us? Here comes the son of Mona. No. Hey, I don't know. I'm just asking, you know. I think I'd be, here comes the son of Burger King. But... you think about that, though. You think about that if you were going to get a name, if your name was going to change based on your one of your strongest characters or characteristics, what would that be? Right. Son of encouragement's mean. Son of encouragement is awesome. You know, I'd love that one, you know, but there's lots of other good ones. So who can we be for God? Hey, what are we sons and daughters of for God? Yeah, I thought so. And thank you for the encouragement. Yeah, but encouragers are important too. It's important to have encouragers because there's some people where you'd need to work on it, and there's some people that are just natural. There's some people that are just natural way. They just naturally encourage you. You know, someone that comes to mind for me, there's lots of people, but this one coulda. You can't be around that woman for more than 10 seconds without feeling encouraged. Hey, she is one of the most grateful women I've ever met in my life. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And she's got the biggest heart, and you can see when she's up here, she smiles. Hey, she teaches my mokos at the kohanga, and they love her, man. They love her. When they see her, their eyes light up. Now, that's the sort of person I want around my family. That's the sort of person I want imparting in my kids and my mokos. That's the person I want. Hey. And she's just so encouraging. But anyway, encouragers are important. It's important to have encouragers around you because they reckon that there's three types of people. There's people that encourage you, there's people that are neutral, and there's people that drain you. You know? And we gotta work out where we wanna be. But anyway, encouragers are important. I'm gonna get back to Barnabas because this is not as prominently spoken about that as I would have thought. But so Saul, who changed his name, was Paul, okay? Saul to Paul, okay? He had that amazing encounter on the road to Damascus, he was actually out trying to kill Christians. He was against the way. He was absolutely against the way, and he wanted to kill people. So and man, I tell you, he had really good work ethic. He was, you know, he was out there doing it, you know. But when he had his miraculous encounter with Jesus, he changed. I mean, like, he just 180, bam, changed. And it was revealed to him through the Spirit, and he got a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you take a man who's going that hard against God, and you get him for God, he's going to go that hard for God, eh? So anyway, he gets to the first town, and when he gets there, all the disciples are there. Well, of course, you know, he's just had an encounter with Jesus, so he wants to associate with the disciples. So he's like, hey, my bros, how's it going? Well, they're all like, whoa, this guy is killing us, you know, he's going. So they didn't trust him, and they were scared of him. So all of a sudden, he was like, you know, he was on the outer, and he was really discouraged. But then here comes the son of encouragement. Son of encouragement walks in and goes, no, this man has had a revelation of Jesus Christ. This man has had his heart changed. This man is for God. And so all of a sudden, he stood up for him and he vouched for him. And then all the disciples said, sweet. And they brought him in. We all know Paul went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. You know? Who knows? I mean, I know God would have made it happen somehow. But that was Barnabas' job. To encourage Paul. And look at that, just through one bit of encouragement. Because that's pretty crucial. That's pretty crucial, that getting in with those disciples, because that's what opened up everything for Paul. So it was really important. And Barnabas was really key. He was a key person in that. Why? Because he was an encourager. You know, you never know what someone is going through. You never know what someone's going through. And, you know, whenever I see someone's, God's been prompting me with something lately. Whenever I see someone's behavior that, or attitude that I find, you know, I try and look behind it. What's behind that attitude? What's motivating it? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, spirit and principality. So what's behind that? The why? We always look at the what they're doing, what, but you got to look at why they're doing that. You know, some of the most violent, angry men I know are the most hurt. Most hurting men in the world are the most angry. So you just never know what's going on behind. And so, you know, in 1 Peter 5:9, it says, you know that your brothers go through the same things. We all struggle with the same things, you know. So that comes into the next key part of encouragement, which is empathy. If we've got empathy, then we will encourage. Without a doubt. You know, because then we understand what they're going through. Because, you know something? I think as Christians, we can be really critical of sins that we don't struggle with. You know, sometimes, we can be really more critical of the sins that we don't struggle with than the ones that we do. But at the end of the day, you know, that's why we've got to go through some stuff. You know, and I've used this a couple of times. I used to pray, you know, oh, Lord, get me out of this. Get me out. Oh, Lord, get me out. Hey, you know, oh, get me out of this, Lord. You know, whatever I was going through. Now I pray, Lord, get me through it. Get me through it, Lord. You know why? Because if you just get me out of it, then I may not pick up what I needed to along the way. And what I will pick up is empathy. Because here's the deal. When you go through something, hey, when you endure something you go through, it allows us to develop empathy, but it creates a place in us through that experience that has compassion, that has grace, that has mercy. It's easier then, you know what I mean, when you've been through it, because it's relatable. It's relatable, you know, but by the grace of God, that could be me. You know, that could be me. A lot of you know my history in that, you know, like God delivered me supernaturally from drug addiction. When I see someone struggling with drug addiction, I feel it. I actually feel it. Man, in my heart, my spirit, I feel it. You know, and it's like, oh, because I know what that's like. So what I try and do is I try and then apply that to every, you know, my moment of what I struggle with, but also my moment that God got me out of it, you know, got me through it, and then I try and apply that whenever I'm talking to anyone else, because then it makes it easy to extend grace, eh? If you've got empathy, it, you know, it just helps. It really helps. All right, I'm finishing up here, okay? So, yeah, actually, I am going to finish on this. Here's a word that I want to say, and this is for the church. Don't underestimate what a word can do. One word from God can change a life. I got encouraged into the kingdom. I got encouraged into the kingdom by an awesome man of God who was obedient and acted on it. And he encouraged me and he loved me into the kingdom. I lived off his faith at first because I didn't even know if I had faith. But I knew I felt his faith. I knew that I felt his faith when he said to me, "Oh, you've been addicted to drugs for 10 years. Not a problem. Not a problem. God can take care of that. God will deal with that." Everywhere else I'd gone, it'd be, "Oh man, you might struggle if you just struggle and white knuckle it, man, you might just get through the day." So where's the freedom in that? Where's the freedom in that? But I talked to a man of God and he said, "Bro, that's nothing for God. That's nothing for God because he's got this life for you." And he started talking about the life that God had for me. And it started stirring in me and it started encouraging me, you know. And then I started believing it. And then I started seeing it. Then I started doing it, living it. Praise God. So don't underestimate what a word from God can do. See, God has a seasoned word in your mouth. The right word for the right time, for the right person in the right place. Dropped in your heart by the Spirit. And it needs to be released. And it needs to be delivered. So, man, my word for you today is be encouraged. Be of good cheer. Because, man, we're in the house. We're in the kingdom. God's for us. Hey, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Trevor Mallard, he can't be against us. Hey. He can't be against us. No one can, because God is for us. So I want to encourage you, every single one of you has a word in your heart. I know that, man, and the world needs to hear what we've got to say. You know, and I'll tell you something that's just standing out to me. Albie and Rich Tumumu. Man, a lot of wisdom in you two men. A lot of wisdom, and I really feel like... me as a man in this church, I want to hear what you've got to say. I want to hear what you've got to say, Rich. You know, you guys speak wisdom. So be encouraged. Be encouraged and be a good cheer. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of encouragement. Lord God, that we've got every reason to be encouraged, Lord God. because you love us, Lord God. Your hand is upon us, Lord God. So right now, Lord God, I lift you up and I magnify you and I glorify you, Lord God. But I pray right now, Lord, that you drop words of encouragement into our spirits right now, into our hearts, Lord God. Let us be aware, Lord God, when we speak, Lord, if there's a word of encouragement that you want us to deliver to anyone, Lord God. It might be through prayer, it might be through a word, it might be through anything, Lord God. But I thank you right now, Lord God, that we stand here and we say, use us, Lord God. Use us to encourage your people, to encourage this nation, Lord, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus. And we all said, amen, amen.